You're killing me, Larry!
Larry. Fucking Larry.
Larry from That Larry Show.
For men with balls.
Take off your pants.
Larry, get into bed now.
Larry.
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 I recently attended a wake. I hadn't been to one of those in a long time. One of my closest friends lost his older brother. It was a brutal 3.5-hour drive to go 120 miles to the mortuary, which was located in Nassau County on Long Island. The rain was torrential. The wipers could barely keep the windshield clear. Incredibly, even under those hazardous conditions, there were dozens of assholes weaving from lane to lane, eyes on their phones as they texted and drove. If big government put as much effort into capturing those lethal assholes as they are into hunting down J6 trespassers, imagine how many lives would be saved. Finally, my wife and I arrived at the establishment. I say that because they seem to go by various names. Some are called funeral homes, sometimes funeral parlors, and this one was the so-and-so mortuary. As I looked at the sign on the lawn, I thought, is it mort, the Latin root that means death? Imagine going through life with the name Mort.
Hi, Mort, nice to meet you. Mind if I call you Death? That's your real name, right?
As a kid, I had this beautiful Labrador Retriever. He was a chick magnet. When girls would stop to pet him and ask his name, I'd say his name is Cuddles. Unless the girl wasn't my type, then I'd tell her his name was Death. They'd usually stop petting him and walk away. Once inside, there's a lobby card on an easel with a picture of the deceased and which room he's in. Sort of like a multiplex theater.
Now appearing in Suite 5, Harvey Galotnik.
But I didn't need the lobby card to find him, because down the hall it sounded like a party was in progress. In the room were 50 or 60 people talking and laughing like they were at happy hour. At the front of the room is a dead guy. He does not seem to be enjoying himself. I had only met him once. He seemed very nice, well-spoken and classy. He probably would have enjoyed this tribute. Why do people wait until you're dead to throw a party in your honor and tell you how great you are and how much they love you? Why were open coffins ever made a tradition? You'll hear people say how handsome or beautiful the dead person looks, and sometimes, depending on the skills of the mortician, that's true. Usually the man or woman is laid out in their best clothing. Nothing like waiting until you're dead to look your best. Just outside the coffin room was a big glass cabinet that really cracked me up and had me suppressing laughter. Now, what do people usually put on display in those things, huh? Family pictures, maybe a trophy or two. Ceramic figurines are popular, especially with the older crowd. And this cabinet was a large-scale model of a Cadillac hearse. A couple of urns for ashes, several mini coffins, including an Egyptian sarcophagus. I would have taken a picture, but I was shaking too hard trying to suppress my laughter. Sometimes they used to call the wake the viewing. If that isn't batshit crazy.
Your presence is hereby requested to stare at a corpse for a couple of hours.
Is that just to make sure he's dead? Wouldn't it be fantastic if there was some kind of mind-reading apparatus that would suck thoughts out of people's heads and project them onto a screen above the coffin for all to see?
I dated him once. Bad breath and too handsy. Wonder what the widow saw in him.
I lent him $50 last Tuesday. Guess I'll never see that again.
At my paternal grandmother's funeral, no mind-reading was necessary. I only met her 2 or 3 times in my life. She wasn't much beloved. From what I recall, it wasn't her personality. She was pleasant enough. I guess she just had a habit of doing things that pissed people off, including my dad and his siblings. My father predeceased her, and when I arrived at the wake, There were only a handful of mourners. I sat down beside my Uncle Bob, who was a fantastic character. He had very little verbal filter. He was honest, blunt, and didn't give a shit what anybody thought of him. We shook hands and sat in silence, looking at, thankfully, a closed coffin. Then Uncle Bob turned and slowly surveyed each face in the room, and he said, "Look at this joint. Not a wet eye in the house." Then he and I burst into gales of horse laughter. It was peak gallows humor. Even driving home, I was still laughing. I've seen some of the top comics who ever lived, but still rank that laugh at a funeral parlor as one of my most satisfying. Some people don't laugh at gallows humor. There's a clinical name for these people. Stupid. Stupid people only get stupid jokes. Stupid people only laugh when they think they're supposed to laugh. Which is why most TV shows recorded before live audiences have electric signs telling them when to laugh and when to applaud. You really don't need an IQ test to estimate someone's intelligence. Just watch them. See what they laugh at. And then note how they laugh. Dummies rarely belly laugh. They tend to chuckle, because chuckles are rarely real. What they are is a laugh that's faked. Faked to be polite, or faked to comply with the group. Once you analyze the type of laugh, check their "I'm offended" meter. The more easily and often they're offended, the more stupid they are. When stupid people think laughter is inappropriate, by the way, I use that voice when I say that word because it bugs my wife. When they think it's inappropriate, they get furious and want to report you to the emotion police. The greatest laughs of my life have been when laughter was deemed wrong or inappropriate, which may result in the most intense laughter there is, suppressed laughter. When I was fooling around with my pals during school, trying to keep the fuckery out of sight and then silence the laughs it triggered, oh, those laughs were tectonic. One day in biology class, the teacher was writing on the chalkboard, which was the only sound other than ballpoint pen scribbling in notebooks. I was seated in the back of the room, and my pal Jimmy suddenly got my attention. His hand dropped near floor level, and with a flick of his wrist, he rolled a penny straight up the aisle. The teacher was a comical guy to begin with, hyper-nerdy, with an odd demeanor about him. He either did not hear the coin or chose not to react. Of course, that triggered a second roll, which he also ignored or failed to hear. Jimmy faced me with a cocked eyebrow and a what-the-fuck face. He rolled a third penny up the aisle, to the same effect. But by now, every guy in the class, there were no girls, it was an all-boy Catholic school, every guy in the class was tuned into the gag and suppressing his own laughter. Next, the monkey see, monkey do instinct kicked in, and some lower primate, failing to grasp the comedic power of the slow-rolling penny, well, he thought he would top Jimmy's subtle, masterful classroom foolery. This lowbrow idiot fired a quarter at the chalkboard as hard as he could. This the teacher noticed. He spun around and gave the entire class 1 hour detention. He wasn't quite as nerdy as we had assumed. But those suppressed laughs as those pennies rolled up the aisle, they were powerful enough to cause hernias. I'll make a prediction here. This hate speech shit is metastasizing so fast that the humorless, anti-free speech commie scumbags who promote it will soon need to expand the entire premise, huh? So watch for some new bullshit term to further throttle comedy. They'll call them hate jokes, and people who tell them or laugh at them will be prosecuted. When Christians were being persecuted, they hid out in the catacombs. When fucktards banned alcohol, speakeasies became a thing. Maybe I'll establish a network of underground comedy clubs. Call them laugh-easies, where comics can say whatever they want to say without fear of the thought police canceling them. The Dice Man could ride again. Maybe out there somewhere is a Don Rickles 2.0 that could do his thing. I've been to a few Irish wakes. They do it pretty smart. The funeral parlor is usually somber. Everyone pays the respects in a very serious way and then stares at the coffin for a while. People tend to whisper, as if they're worried they might disturb the stiff. But once the wake is over, the crowd migrates to somebody's house or maybe a saloon for the after party and loosens up with adult beverages. Some of those can get raucous and hilarious. Hey, there's another peculiar word choice. So why do they call it a wake? Shouldn't it be a sleep? There was a very popular TV sitcom, The Mary Tyler Moore Show. It was a smash hit and ran for 7 years. Its most successful episode was about death and the wake of a clown named Chuckles. The episode won an Emmy and is honored as peak funny in anyone's best of TV rankings. Part of what made it so funny was that it explored the notion of suppressed laughter. I'd clip it here, but it's so visual it wouldn't work very well, so I'll post a link to it at thatlarryshow.com. Of course, they say that the services are for the living, not the dead, and that's true. I've hosted a couple in my time, and what these services really provide is a distraction from grief and loss and the enormity and finality of what's happened. While there's a crowd present, it takes your mind off the reason for the event. The toughest time is when everyone goes home and you find yourself solamente. At work, we once celebrated a guy's birthday by hiring a stripper. She came to the office dressed normally. She carried a tote bag and a boombox. She slipped into the ladies' room and came out in the usual outfit, heels, hose, black panties, and bra. She punched play on the box, and of course the trumpet playing the stripper blared through the speakers. She strutted around the birthday guy for a while. Her top came off. She grabbed a can of whipped cream from the tote, sprayed a mound on each boob, then planted a sparkler candle in each and lit them up. The sparklers flamed out just about when the song ended. Suddenly there was silence. No one hooting or hollering or laughing. She pulled a towel from the bag, wiped off the whipped cream, and dressed herself. It was a weird, uncomfortable moment, soaked in pathos. Those scenes really brought home the notion of comic relief. We all need some, every day. And people who try to stifle comedy, any comedy, they need a punch in their fucking face. Give them something to cry about. Hey, thanks for hanging with me once again. It's always great to be with you. Stop by thatlarryshow.com for hundreds more episodes, as well as additional content and commentary. If you like what you just heard, tell 5 friends and send them a link so they can hear for themselves. If you really like what you heard, help me keep this enterprise going by making a pledge. Just click the Patreon or PayPal buttons. It's real easy. If you prefer, there's a P.O. box address that accepts any type of donation. My friends, I hope your visits to funerals are few and far between. But if you do find yourself at one, have a look around. You'll probably find a reason to laugh. I'll see you next week. And until that time, take no shit.